Our text for today is found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30, and it reads as follows. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray if you spend a few minutes in your word that you would open thou our eyes, we may behold wondrous things out of thy law, to the end that you get the glory, and that these, your people, may be edified, and their lives may be made the better. And if there is a man, a woman, a boy, or girl that knows you not the free pardon of sin, they make him crying as a jailer, What must I do to be saved? May your word be clear and plain so that even a child may understand. We ask all this in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. Our thought for today is simply this. A mother's love. There's all kinds of love in the world. In fact, there are four different kinds that the Greek describes. There is agape love, which is the kind of love that God has for us. It is a self-sacrificing kind of love that looks beyond our faults and sees our needs. There is phileo love, which is the love that is spoken of as a friend to a friend. The city of Philadelphia is called Philadelphia, taken from the word phileo, which means friendship love. There is eros, or erotic love, which is the kind of love that you find when a man and a woman get together in the state of holy matrimony and join themselves in a physical way. But then there's another kind of love called sturgis love, and that kind of love is known as a mother's love. Today we want to spend a few minutes talking about a mother's love. Even the most horrible person in the world had a mother. Even the most despicable criminal had a mother. Even the person that you hate the most in life, your enemy, has a mother. And it's an amazing thing. People can be horrible beyond description and have done horrible things with their lives, but yet their mother can still love them. There's something about a mother's love that is beyond understanding. That's the woman who for 9 or 10 months carried this little seed that grew to a baby inside her belly and through a lot of pain and travail brought you and I out into the world. And they say that even though that is the most excruciating pain men know nothing about that a woman can go through, they said that even for the pain that she went through, when she sees that baby for the first time, she can barely remember the pain for the joy of seeing the child. A mother's love. What can it do for you and I? What has it done for you and I? When we look at this text, there's something we can find out about a mother's love that we can take and apply to all of our lives for those of us who are mothers, for those of us who had mothers, for those of us who would desire to be mothers. A mother's love. She's the lady that's described in the 31st chapter of Proverbs who will, at the end of her life, or sometime during her life, will be said of this by her children. They will rise up and call her blessed. This is the woman who gets up early, who stays up late, who makes sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed when it comes to her children because she wants nothing for them but the best. I asked my mother one time, What is it you want for me, your son, your baby boy, your only son? She said, What I want for you is to know that when I'm dead and gone, you can take care of yourself. To know that you are going to be a responsible person who contributes to society and is a blessing and not a curse. That's what I want for you. That's why I'm building into your life the things that I'm building and teaching you the things that I'm teaching you because of what I want you to be if I'm not here to see it. My mother said, I'm going to teach you how to take care of yourself because one of two things may happen to you. One, you may never get married. And if you never get married, then you need to know how to wash clothes and clean house and cook so that you don't starve. On the other hand, you may get a wife that does not know how to do any of those things. And once again, I don't want you to run around and be hungry and have to do without because you're married to a woman that can't or won't. And I say, thank you, Mama, even today. A mother's love. It can be the most heartbreaking thing to be the mother of a child when things don't go right. And I'm not just talking about a child who ends up choosing the wrong road even though they know better. I say to my sister about my nephew, who's the black sheep of the family, now you know he knows how he was raised. And I don't care what he tells anybody, I know, you know it, and so does anybody else, that he knows how he was raised. He does know right from wrong. And when you are teaching somebody, they know, they get it, and they often say that more is caught than is taught. And it's not always what we say, but also what we do that speaks so much to our children's lives. My mother said to me one day, as she looked at me, and often she spent a lot of time thinking and looking at me, she shook her head and she said, I didn't realize you were so much like me. You not only have my good habits, I see you've got a whole lot of my bad ones. So there is more that is taught and taught. The woman today was not a Jew. She was considered a Syro-Phoenician. She was from the region north of Judah known as Syria. This story is recorded in both Gospels. It is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, and also in the Gospel of Mark. And what you find is when Matthew wrote to his audience, and he talked about this woman, she was portrayed as a Canaanite. And for the Jews, they remembered what it was like when they came out of Egypt and came into the Promised Land and how they had to deal with the Canaanites and they had to battle them to conquer the land that God had given them. So this woman did not cast a favorable impression in their mind. In Mark's Gospel, she is pictured as a Greek, which means there's only two kinds of people in the world. Either you were a Jew or you were something else. So if you weren't born a Jew, you were something else. So this woman was considered a foreigner. And when you look at her, you find that she has a problem. Being the parent of children or a child means your children are going to have problems. And because you love them, you do not just sit by and wait to see what's going to happen. You are in the process of helping to meet the need and solve the problem. Sometimes the difference between fathers and mothers is this, is that a father will leave his child, well often the mother, the last thing she will do if it's down to her dying breath, she will not give up or desert her child. And that speaks something about that attachment, that bond that's been formed by the mother because of the closeness that she has to the child. Many of us realize that if there was one person who knew more about us than anybody else, who we had a hard time taking by surprise, who knew what we were going to say before we said it, who knew what we were going to do before we did it, it was our mother. And we couldn't figure out, how did she know? How did she know I was going to do that? How did she know I was going to say that? How did she know I was going to try that? Because she's your mother. And she's been watching you from day one and taking it all in so nothing takes her by surprise. This woman had a problem. The fact is that her daughter was sick. But she wasn't sick in the normal way. She was sick because she was possessed by a demon. Now, some of you may think that you have that problem now with some of your children, that your child acts at times like he or she's possessed by a demon because you don't know where they got that spirit from, and you can't just blame their father. But some of the times you may wonder, what is wrong with my child? This woman knew what was wrong with her child, and she realized that she had a problem. But the thing about this woman was, there are some things that I want you to think about as you look at the scripture that speaks of her love. She had a problem, and what did she do? She went to the right place. What else did she do? She went to the right person. What else did she do? She had the right perspective. And she had the right prayer, and she had the right praise. Mothers will move heaven and earth to make things happen for their children. Mothers will do whatever it takes to make things go well for their children. Mothers will give whatever they have to give in order to make sure that their children receive and get the best. And you see the thing about Jesus, this was in the third year of his ministry when it was in the year of unpopularity, and so he was hiding, trying to get away from people because of what had happened to him in the earlier part of the chapter. But you see, Jesus could not be hid because he was so well known that wherever he went, somebody knew him, heard about him, and saw him. And it says that this woman, she had heard of him, and she came, and she fell at his feet. So first of all, she came to the right place. If you have a mother that loves you, when you have a problem with mothers, the first place you should go is to God. Which means you know who the right person is, because prayer is not the last thing you should do for your children. It is the first thing you should do for your children. Each and every day, pray that God would keep his arms of protection around them, and he would put a hedge around them to keep them safe. Because the last time I looked at the news, looked out the window, and read the paper, this is not a kind world. This is a dangerous place. And sometimes the people we teach our children to be most afraid of is us. Back in the day when I was growing up, you would speak to strangers. You were allowed to say hello. But in the generations that have come since then, we now teach our children, you don't talk to strangers. If you don't know the person, you never say hello. Now you got people that are 20 years old and 40 years old, and you're walking down the street, and you look at them and you say hello. And I used to think I didn't speak loud enough. And then I realized I'm dealing with people who have been taught, you don't talk to strangers. So if you think the world is a little less friendly than it used to be, it is. Because we taught our children, don't be friendly to strangers, because you can't trust us, because we don't know what we're going to do to you anymore. It's a sad state that we have children that are afraid all the time because we told them that we are the enemy. But this woman, it says that she came to the right place. She came looking for Jesus. She came looking for God because she had a problem. And people look at this story and they think it's kind of strange, the things that Jesus says to her. It says she fell at his feet. It says the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. And this is where people think the story gets a little strange, because most of the people that came to Jesus, he healed them, he touched them, he said something to them, all of a sudden everything was okay. But Jesus says this to the woman, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. Why would Jesus say that to the woman? The children he's speaking of are the children of Israel. Jesus said that when he came to give his message, he first came to give it to the Jew and then to the Gentile. And the picture he's painting here is I'm not going to take care of your problem until I take care of who I came to deal with. And so he makes this little story, an analogy. He says, after you feed the children, then you would give a little something to the dog. And people are saying, well, Jesus is calling this woman a dog. No, he's referring to the dog as a pet. I don't know what happens in your house, but sometimes when you have pets, such as dogs, dogs like to eat just like you like to eat. And Jesus is saying, I am not going to take the bologna sandwich, the peanut butter sandwich that I have fixed for my child, and my child sitting there hungry, waiting to eat his lunch, take the sandwich off the table, put it down on the floor, and say, here, Fido, get a bite. He says, I'm not going to give to the dogs what belongs to the children. So he's saying, I'm going to take care of who I'm supposed to be taking care of first. But the woman, you find that she had the right perspective, because even though she didn't get the answer she wanted, because she loved her child so much and was concerned more about her child than she was about herself, she persisted. She had the right perspective. She knew she was in the right place. She knew she was talking to the right person. So she persisted, and she says, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. So if you've ever had a dog, you know that if anything falls on the floor, you don't have to sweep the floor when supper's over, because the dog is right there on top of it. Now, unfortunately, I have a dog that sometimes doesn't wait for the crumbs to fall on the floor. He decides to make himself right at home up on the table, usually when my back is turned. Many is the meal that I missed because, never mind. She persisted in the fact that she understood what Jesus was saying, but she still wanted to be blessed by God. And she gave the prayer where she said that, Lord, even though the dogs are under the table, they still get the crumbs that the children fall on the floor. And Jesus looked at her and he says unto her, for this saying, go thy way, thy devil is gone out of thy daughter. She persisted, she had the right perspective, she gave the right prayer, and Jesus answered her prayer. Because he understood that she understood what he was trying to say. It's not that he wasn't going to give her what she asked for, but first things first. A mother's love is an amazing thing, because she was so persistent that she didn't take no for an answer. And when it comes to you and your children, you shouldn't take no for an answer either in wanting what's best for them. And even though getting the answer and working out the details may involve a little persistence, it may a little stick-to-itiveness, it may involve you to do things you wouldn't normally do because you love your child and want more for them than you want for yourself, a mother's love says, in spite of the obstacles that you find in life, you don't quit when it comes to seeking the best for your child. So when you come to God for your children, if they're doing right, praise God. When you come to God for your children and they're doing wrong, keep on praying, keep on trusting, keep on hoping and believing that God can do anything but fail in life. Sometimes I think God wants to see, are we serious about what we ask Him when it comes to our children? One of the greatest things that a mother can do is intercede for her children in prayer. This question came up in Sunday school. When you look at someone and you see what they're doing and you know from your own experience that what they're going to do is not going to be a good thing, should you say something or keep quiet? And the answer was, it's a fine line between helping and meddling. Well, that goes out the window when you're somebody's mother because it's your job to meddle. It's your job to get in your children's business. It's your job to find out what they're doing and that you know that they know and they know that you know that there are no secrets and that you're watching everything they say and do. My grandmother used to say this to me. She was in her 90s and sometimes her friends were gone, her family was gone, and she'd say to herself, I don't know why I'm still here. And then she'd look across the room and she'd look at me and she says, oh, I know why I'm still here. My job is to keep your feet close to the fire. You see, my grandmother was my mother's mother, but she still had that mother's love. That she still wanted the best for me, and I was never too big or too grown that she could not take the time to give me some advice or some warning, or to let me know that she did love me because she took the time to sit down and discuss what was happening in my life with me. That's a mother's love. It doesn't stop when they turn 18. It doesn't stop when they turn 21. It doesn't stop when they get married. It doesn't stop when they give you grandkids. A mother's love continues all the way until she dies. And it says here that the woman went home. And because she had the right perspective and she gave the right prayer, it says that when she got home, she found that her daughter was healed. One of the greatest things we can ever give our children as mothers is a faith in God that He can do all things well. And that He's watching over us and over them and will guide all their footsteps from the day they're born until the day they die. And you see, Jesus didn't have to get up and go where the woman came from because of His power. All He had to do was speak the word, and that's the power of Christ in our lives. He can just speak the word and everything will be made all right. But you see, He wasn't willing to do something for the woman that she wasn't willing to do for herself. And that is, she was a woman of prayer who came in behalf of her children. And the greatest thing that I challenge all of you mothers to do today is to remember to be women of prayer when it comes to the children, because then you will be able to show them a mother's love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for mothers today. We thank You for this woman who reminds us of coming to the right place, to the right person, with the right perspective, who's a woman of prayer, who has faith to believe, who is willing to persist and just trust You to answer her prayer. We thank You for all that. In Jesus' name, for His sake, amen.